The legend of Peyton Pritchard grows, but this game was almost not played. We're going to talk about it on this Thursday Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This is the truth like 34. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Boston Celtics. I host this podcast, and I'm the author of the book, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, which is now available at online booksellers everywhere. Thanks, new listeners, for checking it out. Hope you enjoy the show enough to subscribe. Regular listeners, I know that you're doing whatever it is that you're doing. Some people like to go to sleep to the podcast. That's fine. As long as you're listening to it, I don't care what you're doing, you know, showering, going to the gym, going to work in the car, whatever. I'm just happy that you are with me. The Boston Celtics are fresh off a tight win over the Miami Heat to end their road trip. 107-105, thanks to a Peyton Pritchard tip-in with just a couple of tenths of a second on the clock. I'm going to talk about the good and the bad in segments one and two. Segment three, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum came out after the game, spoke as a tandem, as a unit, and answered questions for nearly 10 minutes. Now, obviously, there were serious, serious overtones to the entire day. Now, I'm not going to get into a whole big thing. I'm not going to turn this into a political podcast, but it's something, obviously. The storming of the Capitol building in Washington is a major story that affects everybody, and the nature of the handling of that has really seriously impacted the players in the NBA. And I shouldn't just limit it to players, coaches. Brad Stevens was also very upset. The NBA in general, the players union, everybody in the NBA for the most part had very strong reactions to it. It's something that's being talked about after, before all of these games, and different teams decided to handle it different. Now, in this game, the Celtics and the Miami Heat decided to basically skip warmups and spend about 40 minutes in the locker room talking things through. Brad Stevens said that with about 30 minutes left on the clock, he didn't think that they were going to play. He actually called his wife and said, I don't think we're playing this game. And then 10 minutes later, the players decided that they were going to play, make a statement, use their platform, and that's how they decided to approach it. So again, segment three, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, you'll hear the whole thing. They wanted to say something, and I'm going to let you hear everything that they said so you can hear it in full context, with the full questions and their full answers, no paraphrasing, so you have an idea of what they wanted to say. So let's start with the game. Quick recap here, if you missed it or weren't paying attention. 107-105 was the final. Jason Tatum led the way with 27 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and a steal. Jaylen Brown, 21 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, a couple of steals, a couple of blocks. He didn't have the best shooting night. Tatum shot 47.5%, 5 of 8 from 3. Also got some nice performances from Daniel Theis in the end. His stat line was okay. 13 points, 5 rebounds, and an assist. And then some chip-in contributions from the rest of the guys. No one really had a horrible overall game. I think everybody who played had an opportunity to contribute. The Celtics built a big early lead. Then they kind of gave that away midway. That was about 5.5 minutes to go in the second quarter. The Celtics lead got up to 17, and then that all kind of dwindled away. Miami, at the beginning of the third quarter, this was the typical slow third quarter. A lot of people complaining about the too big lineup again, which I'll talk about in segment two again. But about halfway through the third quarter, Jason Tatum woke up, carried the Celtics, and then he and Jaylen Brown finished the Miami Heat off, and Peyton Pritchard tipped the ball in at the buzzer, about 2.2 seconds left, an offensive rebound to make it 107-105. So my first good here is overall just getting this win. The Celtics had a big first quarter. Miami had a big third quarter. So it was 34-26 Boston in the first. It was 35-27 Miami in the third. So basically, it's they each traded big quarters. The second quarter was even, 19-19. So it really came down to the fourth quarter. And the Celtics grinded this out. And at the end of a road trip, where Brad Stevens said after the game, guys were asking out, guys were basically more tired, more kind of worn out. And he said, I don't know if that was just the end of the road trip or they played so hard at the beginning, but I think that's partly road trip stuff on top of the emotions of the day. To come back, not let this get away, not let the third quarter get away from them. They were outscored by 8. It could have been a lot worse. To come back in the fourth, they rode their stars, but the bench guys contributed, the role players contributed. It was a really, really good win against a team that still, I mean, I know Miami's struggling just a little bit, just like a lot of teams are, but to get this win to end the road trip is great. Now, I will say as an aside, I don't know what this is going to mean for Friday's game. That first game back after a long road trip, a hard-fought win, all of that. Friday might be a little ugly. Just putting it out there. Maybe not, but So grinding out a win like this, I think, was good. Coming up huge. Tatum, that third quarter, all 10 of his points in the third quarter were in the last 6 minutes. I mean, the Celtics were dying, and their star slid in. One of their stars slid in and said, nope, not tonight. And then Jaylen Brown, on a tough shooting night, the third good after Tatum's big third quarter and grinding out this win, Jaylen Brown's fourth quarter. So on a night where Jaylen Brown, like I said, did not shoot great, 8 of 23, 3 of 9. It's not how hot he's been. I mean, he's been so blistering hot that a night like this is a really off night for him. But in the fourth quarter, he picked it up. 3 of 6 in the fourth quarter, 4 rebounds, an assist, a steal, a block, catch and shoot threes in the corner down the stretch, part of a 15-2 run that turned the game completely around. That's what the stars do. Fourth good for me, Peyton Pritchard's hustle. That dude was working hard. Now, he didn't have a great shooting night either. 3 of 10, 0 of 4 from 3. But the dude did hand out 4 assists and 6 rebounds. 6 rebounds, 4 offensive rebounds. Now, I think the other 3, so you had the 1 offensive rebound on a tip-in at the end of the game. I think the other 3 might have come on the same play, but he was just tenacious in the middle of, like, it looked like 3 guys from the Heat. I don't know how he kept doing that. Just kept grabbing his own offensive rebounds. He didn't hit any of the shots, but man, that dude was tenacious. So, not a great overall game, but good recognition, understanding what was happening, understanding that Smart was driving hard, and that when Smart fell, there was just chaos there, and he just attacked and made something good happen. It's also why you attack early in a situation like this to give yourself an opportunity to get that tip in. Some quick shout-outs here. Daniel Theis, he was not particularly great in this game and was part of some of the lineup issues for sure. But in the fourth quarter, 3 of 4 shooting, 2 rebounds, 6 points. That was a very nice performance from him down the stretch. Robert Williams, I thought, had another good stretch earlier in the game. There's still all of that debate that if you didn't hear yesterday's podcast with Andrew Doxie and me talking about the lineups and the experimentation, all that, please listen to that, because there's a lot of discussion about where Robert Williams fits, where Daniel Theis fits. There's still a lot to be worked out there. Shimi Ojeleye was good early in the game. I don't know what happened to him in the fourth quarter. Maybe, and because the post game, the conversation was geared towards everything that had happened in Washington. So that's kind of made it inappropriate to ask, hey, Brad, what happened to Shimi Ojeleye after, you know, his big second quarter? That was not something that that we really could ask. It didn't feel right. But Shimi Ojeleye, big second quarter. Then I think a lot of this had to do with maybe Grant Williams, who did a pretty good job defending Bam Adebayo and was somewhat effective, I think, on an Adebayo who did have 4 points and 4 assists in the fourth quarter, but you would expect him to have a bigger impact. And I thought Grant Williams did a good job there. Basically all of the role players, everybody did something, I think, positive. Mostly. There are negatives in this, and I'm going to talk about them next. And yes, some of it will involve the lineups. I'm so sick of talking about it, but it continues to persist as a talking point. I will bet that somewhere, somehow, after Friday's game, the lineups are going to be a talking point again. So maybe betonline.ag can get me some odds on that. Whatever you want to lay some money on, betonline.ag is here for you, and you can sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use a promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get a 50% welcome bonus. That's 50% of whatever your first deposit is. So you're going to win right away. Whether you really want to throw some money on the football playoffs, college basketball, the NBA, in-game betting, it's all available for you at betonline.ag. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get into the action. And don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Now, I've played a lot of basketball in my life. I have got a lot of aches and pains. I am dealing with inflammation because I just beat the hell out of my body. So lucky for me that as I get into January and I try to take better care of my body, my friends at CBDMD are here to give me and you the support you need to conquer your New Year's resolutions and make this year the best one yet. And especially if those New Year's resolutions happen to involve fitness, they've got a brand new topical product that's going to help keep you moving all year long. CBD Relieve with lidocaine fuses CBDMD's hybrid broad-spectrum formula with fast-acting lidocaine to help provide temporary relief from minor aches and pains. And with the new bag-on valve spray technology, Relieve can be applied comfortably at any angle, even upside down. This is perfect for somebody like me. I know as I get older and it's harder to work off the pounds, getting something like this to help work through some of my aches and pains and inflammation is really going to help. And to make it even easier to get the year started off right, they're offering all of our listeners 20% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com and promo code NBA for 20% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. We're on to 2021. Time for a fresh start. Let's get a few more wins in your bag if you're betting this year. If you want those wins, you can get them if you listen to the Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're going to help you out by picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get podcasts. All right, let's do this. Two big lineup again. I had an argument with people on Twitter about this. I want this to be the last thing that I say. People come at me because they think I'm defending the lineup. And I'm not. I'm not defending the lineup. I watch these games. I rewatch these games. I rewatch these plays over and over and over again, trying to break it down, trying to see who's supposed to be where, what is happening. When the lineup is an issue, you have matchup problems, you have a person who's out of position, you have a person that's hard that has a hard time guarding somebody, you have matchups that shouldn't be out there. When that happens, you have what happened in the second quarter. I watched that second quarter and I thought, this is interesting. They've never used double big in the second quarter. About 5.5 minutes to go, they bring in Daniel Theis. I think it might have been because Jason Tatum got smacked in the head and Kelly Olynyk was on the floor. So Brad Stevens went with Daniel Theis. And Olynyk was pulled off the floor and Daniel Theis stayed on the floor. And that's where, down the tubes. I was trying to whistle there. I couldn't. Down the tubes it went. That was, for sure, from what I saw, a lineup issue. The Daniel Theis didn't have Kelly Olynyk. He was trying to go with, I forget who it was, a quicker guy, and that's where he's out of position. This is trying to guard quicker fours, like we saw with Jeremy Grant. It's not the right time. It's not the right place to use Daniel Theis. And I thought that really cost the Celtics in the second quarter. In the third quarter, and funny, in the second quarter, I didn't hear a ton of complaints. I didn't see a ton of complaints. In the third quarter, they come out slow and inundated with double big. I went back during commercial breaks. I'm like, I've got to get these answers. And I'm looking at these plays in the third quarter. And I said, I'm not seeing double bigs being the issue. They are an issue. I'm not saying they were the reason. But if you list out reasons for why the third quarter went how it went, you have at least a couple of things before you get to, and maybe the spacing wasn't particularly great. But you saw plays, bad plays. I saw Jason Tatum make a bad play. He was triple teamed, and he had Marcus Smart at the top of the key with no one around him for seriously like 15 feet. And he doesn't make that pass. That has nothing to do with who's on the floor. Daniel Theis was in the opposite corner. Okay, Tristan Thompson was on the other side of the lane. He got triple teamed because Miami was packing the lane. Then I see Jaylen Brown late get caught too deep on a drive and not get out to Duncan Robinson. And Duncan Robinson hits a three. It has nothing to do with Daniel Theis being on the floor with Tristan Thompson. Nothing to do with it. Plays like that, where the Celtics were kind of like, sluggish. That stuff has nothing to do with double big lineups. It has everything to do with them being sluggish. And there were some spots now where I did see lineups being an issue were when Jaylen Brown had the ball at the top of the key. I forget where in the third quarter this was. Daniel Theis is in the corner. I wrote about this exact same thing on RedsArmy.com. Kelly Olynyk, not concerned with Theis in the corner, has a foot closer in the lane. that spacing issue, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. So they do have to use that a little bit differently, or just give it to Daniel Tice and at least force Olynyk to react to that and move the ball around. And that's my biggest problem here, is that when the Celtics double big lineup is bad, it's because they don't move the ball. It's because they don't do the things that they're supposed to do. One of the biggest reasons the double big lineup doesn't work is when guys get tired and the execution is poor. And Brad Stevens, like, I wrote that last week, I think, or the beginning of this week. Brad Stevens adds to that by saying after the game that guys were tired and asking out. Well, yeah, so that to me makes sense. But to just, what I rail against is the knee-jerk reaction of third quarter's going bad, it's the double big lineup. Well, no. That's not the primary reason. The primary reason is other guys, in this case, sometimes it can be the primary reason. And it's a case-by-case thing. So I come off as defending the double big lineup. No. I think more often than not, it struggles. But as I said in yesterday's podcast, it's never had a fair shot to work. It's never had the right opportunity. And for them to figure things out, they have to have answers to certain questions. I'm not going to repeat myself. Please go listen to yesterday's podcast if you haven't, because Andrew Doxie and I have a really good conversation where I lay all of this out. I do not defend this lineup. This lineup, the numbers, I know the numbers. I see the plays. I'm not blind. I'm not an idiot. I know what you're talking about. But understand what I'm talking about. If you just say, oh, man, double bigs. Oh, the Celtics gave up a 6-0 run. Double bigs. If you say that, and I know I'm inviting it, if you say that, it better well be the double bigs that are the problem. Because if it's not, I'm going to tell you, not the double bigs' fault this time. And mostly because I want it to be accurate. I just want accurate information out there. When it's the double bigs' fault, I will tell you. When I see that, I will tell you. Not a problem. But if I don't think it's the double bigs' fault, even though they're out there, you just can't blame it on them the whole time. Because you're missing some other things. You're really missing some other things if that's all you see. So I'll tell you what I see. The next time they have a slow third quarter, it very easily could be the double big lineup. Very easily. That's the problem with these guys. They're inconsistent. That's one of the big problems. So that's my lineup. That's my lineup spiel for today. Marcus Smart, I think, was the only player who had a real tough night. It's my second bad. The numbers do not look good. The eye test didn't look good. He just had a tough night. 0-4, 0-1 from three. No, I'm sorry. That was the fourth quarter number. He was 3-10, 1-3 from three. 6 assists, 4 rebounds, 5 fouls. So the 6 assists were a team high, so that's good. So it does fall in line with every player did make a contribution. I'm not saying that Marcus Smart flat out sucked and he didn't do anything positive, but he definitely had the worst game out of everybody. Fine. You know, that's what Marcus Smart is. He's allowed a bad game. Every player's allowed a bad game. Really, my only issue with Marcus Smart was the foul at the end of the half. I think it was Hero who was launching a three-quarter court shot. Whew, that was a rough foul, man. That was a bad foul. And that gave him 3 free throws. The Celtics should have had a bigger lead. That was a 19-all second quarter. It should have been 19-16. So that foul was dumb. It was just a dumb foul. And he'll tell you that, I'm sure. You look at it, you see the video. It wasn't a bad call. It was a foul. You shouldn't reach in that situation. He's going to heave it. If he hits it, so what? You know, that those rarely ever go in. No one's going to get on you, oh, why didn't you challenge that three-quarter court heave? And for that matter, my last bad thing, Tatum's foul on Duncan Robinson in the fourth quarter with the Celtics seemingly putting things away. And the only thing you don't need is to be giving them all those free points. Robinson hits a three-pointer and then gets fouled as Tatum kind of casually rolls by. It's 105-98. Okay, so you don't want him to hit that three. He hits that three. You were late. Tatum just kind of casually rolls by and kind of gives him like a high five sort of thing on the offhand. That was a dumb foul. For everything that Tatum had done in that moment, it was just like, oh, what are you doing? And probably fatigue and just let himself just, he let go of the rope a second too early, and that happened. And because of that free throw, Smart comes down. He misses. Tice misses. Dragic gets two attempts at a three-pointer. He, of course, hits the second one because the Celtics can't clear the rebound. Unnecessarily dramatic. But thankfully, Peyton Pritchard was there to tip in the miss. Whew. So, that's the bad. Up next, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. Post-game, I'm going to play you the whole thing, everything that they said. First, I'm going to talk about rockauto.com because nowadays, with everything that's been going on, first of all, you don't want to be walking into any stores as it is. It's winter time. Storms are coming. Like, every couple of weeks, you need wipers. You need all sorts of things. You get dings. This is the time where cars really need work, especially around New England. So don't bother going into one of those chain stores. It's impossible for them to stock everything that you need for your car, and you're going to tell them all of the things that you're going to be typing into rockauto.com anyway. So why drive somewhere to tell somebody these things? Just type those things into rockauto.com yourself, and you can save 30 to 50, maybe even 100% on the exact same auto parts. It doesn't matter if you're an advanced mechanic or a do-it-yourselfer or somebody like me who doesn't know a damn thing about cars. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. They offer the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like an airline. I had no idea that they did this. I can't believe that they do this. So go to rockauto.com. It's for everybody. It does not require a membership. There's no login. There's no nothing. It's just an easy catalog that's easy to navigate. You can see everything that your car needs. So go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Here's the most important part. If you go there and you get something, please write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box. That's how they know we sent you. So write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box. It's an amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Are you playing fantasy basketball? You're going to need some advice to win your league. Do not come to me. I am getting smoked. You need to go to a more reliable source like Josh Lloyd. More people trust him as the host of Locked On Fantasy Basketball than any other fantasy basketball podcast. Subscribe to the number one fantasy basketball podcast on the planet, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, wherever you get your podcasts. After the game, I told you earlier, this was a tough day. Players around the league, the union, the coaches, everybody, as American citizens, as citizens of the world, We watched a mob of people storm the U.S. Capitol, ransack rooms, and just, it's something that was unbelievable to see. Also unbelievable to see was, as you'll hear, how this riot was treated. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum were the players who spoke after the game. I will play you now their entire post-game media availability so you can hear what they had to say, how they had to say it, and the questions that they were answering. Here they are.
Before we get started, you know, we definitely want to speak to some of the things that's been going on in our society. It reminds me of what Dr. Martin Luther King has said, that there is two split different Americas. In one America, you get killed by sleeping in your car, selling cigarettes, or playing in your backyard. In another America, you get to storm the Capitol, and no tear gas, no massive arrests, no none of that. So I think it's obvious. It's 2021. I don't think anything has changed. We want to still acknowledge that. We want to still push for the change that we're looking for. But as of yet, we have not seen it. We want to continue to keep conversations alive and do our part.
All right, we'll open it up for questions. We'll start with Mark D'Amico.
Hey, guys. Obviously, a difficult day for everyone in America, and not the first time that you guys have been put in this situation with a basketball game coming up when something really important is going on in the country. Can you just take us through what the situation was and what the circumstances were behind closed doors and the discussions and meetings that you guys had leading up to the game?
Yeah, just to piggyback off what JB said, it was heavy on our hearts. You know, we was thinking about it. And unfortunately, we continue to be in the same situation. And, you know, we just, you know, had an open space in the locker room to discuss these things, whether we was going to play or not. Similar to the bubble. And like you said, it's 2021, and we kind of continue to find ourselves in the same situation. And it's tough because, you know, we're not surprised by what we see on TV. You know, it's the world we live in. You know, I just feel like, you know, the same energy should be kept as, you know, when, you know, we see our people, you know, peacefully protesting for, you know, things that we see, you know, our people getting, you know, murdered on TV and live and videos. And, you know, they're protesting the Capitol or rioting the Capitol, you know, for losing an election. You know, it's two different things. And I want the same energy on TV, you know, to be, you know, they're thugs and criminals, you know, the same term that they use, you know, when they see our people, you know, protesting for losing our lives. And, you know, I think it's bigger than basketball. It's bigger than the game today. But I just felt like that, you know, the statement, us talking about it, us going on the court on national TV could, you know, shed more light than not playing. And, you know, that's what we talked about in the locker room.
Gary Washburn.
For either you two guys or both, how do you manifest your anger into something positive? Because it's easy to be pissed. Everybody, you know, we're all pissed as black men, given what's happened. But how do you kind of manifest that and turn that into something positive and productive, especially you guys are role models, et cetera? How do you kind of do that? That's tough to be so young and angry and justifiably angry, but then try to not let the anger bother you or get to you.
It's definitely two sides to a coin. Like basketball, of course, is our profession, and we're blessed to be in this position. But we're also, you know, men. We also are fathers or members of our community as well. So when they hurt, we hurt, and we want to continue to be a voice for the voiceless. But, you know, sports is often used as a way to lift people up. It's a way to spread joy. And that's a decision that we came out here today with. And hopefully we got the win and we spread some joy today.
Jared Weiss.
You guys had these similar discussions back in the bubble when the Jacob Blake shooting happened. How did going through that process before help you come to your decision tonight? And also, what made you guys want to come out here together and speak and stand together?
I think, you know, just being, unfortunately, being in a situation in a bubble and knowing that, you know, we had the talks of, you know, canceling the whole bubble and leaving, but realizing that, you know, as the NBA, as players and how the platform that we have on national TV, knowing that everyone's going to be watching and being in front of a camera, you know, we can play the game, but, you know, when we get asked questions, we can, you know, shed light and talk about the things that we want to express. And I think this is a great way, and it's going to have to continue, unfortunately, until we see real change.
Sherrod Blakely.
Yeah. This question is for both of you, but specifically for you, Jalen. What we're talking about happening at the Capitol building, what we saw happen with the shooter of Jacob Blake, and you contrast that with the elections in Georgia and how those turned out and how you guys played a role in, frankly, moving people to be more engaged in the civic process of voting. How do you compartmentalize all those different emotions? Obviously, the joy of seeing more people be participating in the voting process, but still the issues that you see happening at the Capitol building and obviously Jacob Blake's shooter not being charged. How do you compartmentalize the emotions that all those things kind of bring about and create?
Like Jason said, I don't think any of us was really surprised, you know, that the ruling or that what happened transpired today. I think that they died. America is kind of built on a lot of racism. That's the foundation. And we don't even flinch or shift at any of those ideas. So I think it was common sense for, you know, for a lot of people to be upset and things like that. So all of us felt the same way, you know, but using this platform that we have is important to us. We are role models. We are members of our community. We do have people looking up to us. And we want the next generation to know where we stand. You know, we want the next generation to know, like, hopefully it's better than this one. So we want to continue to keep those conversations alive. We want to compartmentalize, but at the same time, we want to voice our opinions through the media, through our platforms, through our influence to let people know, like, this is not okay. It's people that have lost their lives that we feel like shouldn't have lost their lives, regardless of the situation. I think deadly force should be the last result in terms of handling, you know, an equation or a problem. And that's what we stand on. I think that we're seeing too many people on camera losing their lives, and we have to explain that to our nieces, our nephews. And it's hard looking at them and telling them that it's going to change, and it's not. So we want to just continue to keep having those conversations. As athletes, our responsibility is more than just being a basketball player. We're not here to just entertain and then go home. Right, we are members of our community. You're a member of St. Louis or Duke or whatever, and you got people that's watching and looking up. So let's try to use our platforms for good and inspire some great change.
How do you keep yourself inspired when you see these things keep occurring over and over and over again, and you guys take a position and you take a stance? And when I say you, I'm talking about NBA players in general. And yet it seems like it's Groundhog's Day, where we're seeing a lot of the same things happen over and over again. How do you keep yourself motivated and inspired to keep pushing forward for the kind of systemic change that you guys want?
I think for me, you know, I just think about our history, you know, all the people that came before us that, you know, sacrificed their lives in a much bigger way, that, you know, myself and him have opportunities to live out our dream. And, you know, that doesn't go unnoticed, and it should be talked about more. So I think we just have to carry that on in any way that we can. Like you said, we're role models, more than just basketball players, and our platform is huge. And, you know, it would be wrong if we didn't, you know, take advantage of that, the opportunities that we have. And, you know, just to speak for all those people that don't have voices like we do and share the same emotions and feelings that we're feeling.
But we definitely want to express that it's okay to be upset. It's okay to be angry. I think that those two get confused. Like, we expressed ourselves through, you know, basketball today, winning a game. But I mean, I think America has every right to be upset. We don't want to encourage violence or anything of that nature. But, you know, we definitely are tired of seeing the same things over and over again. So, you know, to feel that pain and that emotion, you know, you can't control how that necessarily is put out. But we want to continue to use our platform because we obviously, you know, want to keep inspiring change. And I want to believe that we're doing the right thing.
All right, there it is. I'm not going to add anything. I don't know that there is anything to add. So I wanted you to hear everything that they had to say in full context so you can get their message directly from them. They wanted you to hear it, and not a lot of opportunities to hear it in full. So here it is. I want to thank everybody for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. If you're a new listener, please subscribe. If you are a regular listener who hasn't given it a 5-star rating or a good written review, I would really appreciate that because it certainly helps. You've made this podcast the number one Boston Celtics podcast in the world, and that's very meaningful. I appreciate that. Another way you can help really is by sharing the podcast. Tell everybody that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.